Okay, Gary DeBoer from Letourneau is going to be our first speaker. We only have two speakers in this section today, but we still need to pretty much follow the timing as much as we can because there's three talks going on that people might want to go to the other one. So, Gary, you'll be talking on the use of biochar for water purification in Thailand.
Thank you for the introduction. Very nice to be here. And this is a fun talk, more of a travelogue talk than anything else. Nothing controversial in here. No young earth, old earth, historical Adam or anything in this. So all just fun stuff. So sit back and relax and hope you enjoy the ride here. Oops, too fast. Okay, so in Matthew, we're given the directive. Here, you guys all know this. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was hungry, you fed me. I was naked, you clothed me. So, as Christians, we want to act out these directives. We want to ask ourselves, how can we, provide water to the thirsty? And as I was thinking about these things, one day I came across this on the Chemists Without Borders site. How many of you guys know about Chemists Without Borders? Well, good. So you learned something.
Yeah.
See, so you can go away from this talk and say, hey, I learned something. That's the takeaway. There's this thing called Chemists Without Borders, right? And it's kind of like Doctors Without Borders. They're do-gooders. They try to go out in the world and do good things. It's not necessarily a Christian organization or anything like that, but the ends, what they're aiming for, is similar to what we would aim for as Christians. Can we do something with what we know to make life better for the people that we live with? So I saw this on there. And they talked about this water, low-cost water treatment workshop that they were going to do in Thailand. I thought, wow, I've never been to Thailand. I wonder if I can talk my dean into paying my ticket to go see Thailand on, the idea that, hey, this is a do-gooder sort of thing. I can learn something, and then I can incorporate students into doing more good, and it'll be like the grain of mustard seed, spreading out all over the place. Well, to my surprise, he believed me, and so I was funded, and so I took this trip to Thailand for this almost two-week workshop in water purification through what they call biochar. So that's what we'll talk a little bit about here as we go forth. So I rate this big airplane, very nice airplane, 787, brand new Dreamliner, I think they called it. So, and it was a long flight across the top of the world here from Dallas-Fort Worth to Peking. So I flew into China, into Beijing over there. And then I flew from Beijing down to Thailand. So this is the big airport in Beijing that they built for the Olympics. Very pretty, lots of steel, lots of glass. Very nice sort of thing. And what struck me there is that everybody running this airport, everybody I saw going through all the customs, all security, must have been 20 or less. All very young Chinese people. Maybe there was some older guy in charge someplace, but everybody that I ran into was young, college age type kids. So then I flew down to Chiang Mai from Beijing, and I was in Thailand. This is what Thailand looks like. I'd never been there. It's a very touristy sort of place, very well-developed cars and streetlights and big roads and all this sort of stuff. 7-Elevens across from the hotel. Anything you'd want in the States, you can find right there in Thailand. Lowe's, Home Depot, all those stores are all over the place there in Thailand. And it's a very touristy sort of place. One nice custom they have is to take your shoes off before you come into a building. I think that's still a good idea. Okay. And this is what the streets of Chiang Mai look like. They have what's called the Old City there. And, it's kind of supposed to look like the quaint Thailand of old. And that's where all the tourists and the partiers hang out. Lots of bars and things like that. Young people with backpacks walking around. All that sort of fun stuff. And then I took a ride with this guy out to the countryside where we're going to do the workshop. So he was my driver. and we drove down these little bitty roads. And so things quickly changed from developed urban Thailand to a less developed rural sort of Thailand, following little painted signs like this out to the Phun Phun Center. And there it is, there's the Phun Phun Center. So this is out in northern Thailand, out in the countryside now. It's sort of a sustainability farm where the owners of the farm are trying to develop ways to live more sustainable lifestyles out in Thailand. Oops. So here's the building that we had classes in. And so we had classes in the morning on the theory of water purification and biochar and things like this. So lots of information on adsorption rates and all this good chemistry stuff that I like, but you guys might be not too interested in that, so we're not going to go through all that, and it would take too long. And if you needed a restroom break, Where's my restroom break? Oh, it's right this way. Uh-oh, now it froze up or something.
Hit the escape button once.
Okay, there we go. So I'll try it with the keyboard here. So here's your typical toilets in the outer island or the outer areas of Thailand. You've got a bucket, you flush it with the thing, and it's a squat type thing. So that's an interesting sort of thing. And so just in case, you go traveling, the thing you want to do is check out the toilets. That's what I've learned in my travels around the world. That's an important thing. Here's the sort of theory behind the water purification for the techie peoples out there. You start out with one tank that's a gravel roughing filter, so your raw water source comes in there, down, comes in the bottom, goes up through it, and goes out the top into the second tank, which is your sand filter, and this is what sets the rate of your water flow. And it's also another filter. On top of that sand filter, there's going to be a biofilm that grows, that eats up a lot of the organic things like that. So the top of the sand filter is a biofilm that will grow. You go through the sand filter, out the bottom, and up into the top of the charcoal tank. And we'll talk a little bit about making the charcoal here in a minute. That's sort of the key, this whole process. And then the water goes through the charcoal, and then it goes out next into a holding or a storage tank. And we worked on two different sizes here, one that did it like 1,000 liters a day, and the other smaller size that does a few hundred liters a day. So depending on what you need to set up for, you can set these up at different sizes. And I went through some of the theory of this stuff. So I talked about things like hydraulic loading factors and Darcy's law and all these sort of calculations that you need to do to figure out what height you need for your tank, what height you need for the water, what flow rates you need. So some of the theory that you would take as a civil engineer was covered in this course. So if you're a civil engineer, these things should look familiar to you. Okay. And then in the afternoons, we did laboratory exercises, which is basically do what we learned about in the morning. What we did is we took this eucalyptus trees here, these little long poles of things, cut them up into a couple inch pieces that will make the biochar from that. We also sifted sand and gravel to get it to the right size, because you need the right size sand and the right size gravel. So I did all this. We did all pretty much by hand, except for the sawing, which we used a power saw for, just to make things go faster. And so there's a group of us from all over the place, people from Myanmar, and Japan, and Laos, and the really international sort of group that was out there. So that was really fun to work with people like this. So here's more of the wood that we would cut up, and we would put it into the bottom of these 55-gallon drums. These 55-gallon drums, the bottom would be cut out. We put a screen in the bottom, and we put an empty 55-gallon drum on the top. That's what we call the gasification chamber. And then we light the top of the bottom tank. So we put a little bit of tinder on the top, and you start the fire on the top of that bottom 55-gallon barrel, and this is what they call a top-lit updraft gasifier, TLUG. Everybody has acronyms, right? So that's what they call it. And the idea is that that fire on the top draws in the air from the bottom. Okay. The volatiles in the wood, and this is if you're a chemist, you understand these things. The organic things that are volatile in the wood will burn off first. And what you'll be left with is the carbon skeleton of the wood if you stop it at the right time. Okay? So those vapors from the wood burn off first, and they gasify in the top 55-gallon drum and combust completely up in there before they go out the smokestack up at the top. So after a couple hours, this wood that you have here turns into charcoal, like you see over there. And that's the real key to this thing, because in many rural places, when they try to make charcoal, they have these slow, tedious, unhealthy ways of making charcoal in these smoke-filled sort of burn things that doesn't make a very good quality charcoal for abstracting organics from the water. So this is the real thing that this group is contributing to this, is this method of making the charcoal. Okay? So it's kind of fun. You put these things together, you load your 55-gallon drum up with all this eucalyptus wood, light the top of it, put the top barrel on, right, and let it go. And in a couple hours, you can tell by the color of the flame between the barrels when the volatile organics have burned off and you're left with a carbon skeleton. Okay. And then we bag up all that charcoal into these bags that we would carry out to the place that we would go to set up our system. And then if you're lucky, you can get a chance to take a little nap in there and enjoy scenic views of Thailand. So you can hang in a hammock and look out over the mountains and enjoy where you are. Which I think is one of the fun things about working in rural areas. So here's a bunch of us here. And this is the system that we set up. So we set up this smaller system on this little farm hour or so away. And there's the blue tank system, we call this. And so we set up like the system that I showed you before. And what's interesting here is all the different peoples that are represented here. I'm over there. This is the owner of the farm, guy from Thailand. This guy was from worked for the European Space Agency. He went to Thailand for vacation, decided to stay there, you know, give up the rest of that busy life, live in Thailand. This guy was a Peace Corps volunteer, married a Thailand lady and stayed there forever, right? This guy was this guy's a grad student at University of North Carolina, but he's doing his dissertation work in this sort of water purification system. So he hangs out in Thailand 6 months every 2 years as part of his dissertation work. This guy here, he's a mechanical engineer that graduated in Colorado, and he's just kind of started a gap year before he went to work and has never gone to work. I don't know. So, interesting. This young lady is a professor from Myanmar, so she had interesting stories to tell about life over there. This guy was real interesting. This guy's name is Greg, and he was in the U.S. military in Afghanistan for years, killing people in Afghanistan. And we got out of the military, finished college. I need to do something to help my comrades that are still in the military. And what I need to do is to make life in Afghanistan possible so people don't have to fight over stuff. And so he's now doing water purification and water systems in Afghanistan as an anti-terrorist sort of thing. That's what he thinks of it as. He's also a committed Christian, right? And so, you know, he's doing this as sort of his life mission there in Afghanistan. So very interesting guy there. So lots of interesting stories. The big guy up on the top there is from Japan. He's some big dude in the music industry there, made millions of dollars, and he's retired, and now he just goes around the world doing this kind of stuff, right? So there you go. That second guy with a thumb up, he's in Mexico. He does water systems like this in Mexico, and so he came over here to see how water systems were done in Thailand. So lots of interesting peoples from all over the place. Another young lady there graduated from a college in Myanmar in civil engineering and is trying to get into a graduate school someplace. And so she tried to use this as a thing to build up her resume and application for her grad school. So lots of interesting peoples there and interesting things that were done. And so all of that, that was a very fun sort of experiment. Now, I also, you know, kind of hung out and visited some things. And every little town in Thailand, there is a temple, a Buddhist temple. Yes, every little town has it. And a little town next to the farm that we're at has it. And every morning at 6 o'clock and every evening at about 6 o'clock, a big speaker comes on and they tell you the news of the day. And they also tell you who has and who hasn't made their contribution to the temple. Yep. So a strong social order there in rural Thailand. You know, if you don't do your community part, you are, you know, shamed. And so that's kind of interesting. And kids hang out on these beautiful temples and things like this. And so there they are. And all around these temples, wherever you see them, there's all these animal statues, right? And so that's kind of an interesting thing. You know, how does that relate to what's all going on here? You got to wonder about these things. So anyway, I downloaded a free Kindle book on the Thai language before I left for Thailand, thinking I should know how to say hello and thank you and where's the bathroom and stuff like that. And in the back of the book, they have these little sections on culture and stuff. And one section was on Buddhism. And so this is what they said in the back of the Thai language book about what Buddhism is about. And it said things like, you undertake training in abstention from killing living beings. So a lot of vegetarians in Thailand, but certainly not all of them. Okay. Or take training and abstention from taking what is not given, from acts of sexual misconduct, from false speech, and from using intoxicating substances. There's a lot of coffee drinking, though. I'm not sure how intoxicating coffee is, but certainly has a toxicity limit if you think about caffeine, but we have chosen not to regulate caffeine. I think if caffeine were introduced today, it would be regulated by the FDA, but that's another story to talk about some other time. So anyway, I was trying to understand a little bit about Buddhism in Thailand and what it's all about. And in some ways, they say, you know, Buddhism is a way of life. It's this. It's a philosophy of life. It's learning how to do without and not do the things that we shouldn't be doing. And it's a way of life. It's a way of meditating. A lot of yoga type stuff and things like that were talked about there. And so, oh, okay, that's fine. But then you have all these animal statues everywhere, right? And so at the same time they say Buddhism is a philosophy, it also seems that Buddhism is worship of anything that they want to make as an idol. And it really was kind of confusing to me. And so that's sort of my impression of a lot of Buddhism there. Now, the farm that we were at is sort of like a little cultural center where people would come to speak, sort of like at Azusa Pacific. I'm sure you get people who come in from the community to speak here, and the community comes in to listen to lectures on you know, Christian living or something like that. Well, they do similar things on the farm there. So they have people that come in and give lectures on Buddhist living, right? So, well, maybe I'll understand more about Buddhism if I go to some of these lectures that are often in the evening here on the farm, you know, when I'm not doing my workshop stuff. And here was an interesting lecture, a lot of these lectures on this. This is sort of the buzzword in Buddhism now. Maybe in Christianity it's integration of faith and learning. That's what we have our buzzword. Their buzzword at that time in Thailand was what they call permaculture. Okay? And permaculture, as best I could understand it, is sort of has to do with a way of life. Like the Buddhist part, you know, it's a way of living. And it's a way of living that, you know, gets you in a sustainable way so you don't ruin society. It's a way of living so the quality of your life is good so that you're not, you know, stressed out all the time and all these sorts of things. So lots of aspects of making your home a beautiful place that you can inhabit at a lower stress level and doing all these sorts of things that they all incorporate in what they call permaculture. And it includes all parts of things, society, economy, environment, and the whole thing is supposed to overlap to make, you know, a better life. And those are real practical sorts of things. And in listening to those talks, that I think many of us in the Christian community would give the same talk, but probably from a Christ-based perspective. And so much of what was said there could still be just transferred over, I think, and Christianized in many ways to give the same sort of talk that's here. So that's the big thing. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, Google up permaculture and see what you can do in Los Angeles here with respect to making it a prettier, more livable place. We could use a little permaculturing in Los Angeles. This is very nice. I'm not saying that, but we came into LAX and I could use a little permaculturing, perhaps. All right. Okay. So, what next for my little project here?
We have just a few minutes.
Yep. So, this is the end. So, this is my goals for the future, and then you got some questions and answers. So, what next? In the early summer months, I had a student. We built a little biochar furnace on our campus, and we tried to build it in a way such we could take off gas samples and things like that, run them through our GC mass spec, and kind of follow the chemistry in the formation of the biochar, rather than just make it. Let's see if we can do a little bit more scientific sort of stuff here and follow the process in making the biochar. And what we want to do is do some water purification once we have enough biochar to do something with, and then analyze the effects of the materials we use to make the biochar, different bio sources, take out different organic matters. It's reported in the literature. So if you're using eucalyptus tree or oak or berry or whatever type of wood you're using, it's going to take out different organic impurities. And so we hope we can follow that scientifically, you know, chemistry-wise, using things like HPLC, high-pressure liquid chromatography, Fourier transform for our infrared spectrophotometry and stuff like that. So we're going to do some chemistry on this, if we can, and then hopefully build some water systems wherever we go. And that's going to be our sort of future goal in there, giving people water to drink. So that's it for my little talk on my visit to Thailand. And if you have questions, I'll entertain them. I don't know if I'll have answers, but I'm happy to listen to any questions that you may have. Yes, sir.
My brother-in-law is on the board of Water for Cambodia, which installs water filters in Cambodia. We're over there, and we installed a few filters. And these are about 4 foot tall by 1 foot square.
Oh.
All self-contained per household.
Okay.
About 60 gallons a day out of these things, but they don't have, you know, the biochar part. They just have the biofilm on the top, the sand, the gravel, and if you wait long enough, the anaerobic nature of the tank kills most of the bacteria. So what you get is about 99% pure. That's on an individual household basis. So that one that you showed, that was for one farm, an area-wide purification system.
Yeah, the one that we set up was for a farm, and so there's probably 20, 30 people, maybe more,
on the farm.
Yeah, and they do, you know,
almost a commercial thing.
Yeah, and they do workshops and stuff on the farm. So you need some capacity, you know, because some days you may use more than others, and you don't want to go over your capacity limit.
The biochar gives you more pure water than the grass. I think it's about 99% pure what comes out of these little samples.
Probably.
Cambodia, maybe you're a little more higher level of purity.
And it depends what your source is. In Thailand, they're concerned about pesticides because people will be spraying all kinds of pesticides on their crops, and that gets into your watershed. And the sand filters aren't going to take out the pesticides, right? So you need a carbon source. Like, you know, if you're a chemist, you think activated carbon, right? They take out these organic, aromatic type of things that are often pesticides.
They can't afford pesticides.
So, well, there's not a problem. There you go. So the whole thing here is you got to know your water source and what you need to purify that water. And in this case, you know, the concern was pesticides. All right?
Thank you.
Okay. Okay.